to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just acknowledge this morning, Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what we're walking through in life, no matter what we're dealing with, we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And God, we acknowledge this morning the righteousness that we have in Christ if we are a believer. Lord, if somebody's here today and they don't know what that feels like, the peace and the joy that's available in our soul, in our heart, in our mind, to know that we are found to be faultless before Almighty God, not because of anything we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us. God, I just pray today that their heart would be ready to receive the seed that you want to plant this morning. Or maybe their heart would be ready, maybe my heart would be ready this morning for you to water and to grow the seed that's already been planted. Lord, be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you want to find your seats and find Matthew chapter 13, we're going to continue in our study.
The growth and greatness of Christianity. That's the title of the message today if you're a note taker. Or maybe if you're in charge of the podcast, and I always forget to tell you what the sermon title is, Sandy. There it is this morning. I actually remembered. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. We're going to be talking about two verses today, this parable. And the title is, and I want us to think about it, the growth and the greatness of Christianity. Over the past few weeks, we've seen in our study of Matthew, we've seen Jesus using the garden and the seeds and the soil and all the things he's been talking about in these parables. Especially when we talked about the parable of the farmer who went out and scattered the seeds, we talked about the condition of our heart. Is our heart actually ready? See, I grew up in church. I went to many church services. I listened to other people tell me about Christ. I might have heard sermons for all the time when I was going through my teenage years and all the way through my 20s. And guess what? My soil wasn't receiving the seed, the Word of God. But when my heart became ready, when I allowed God to let His Word take root into my heart, it changed me. And it made me a new creation when I gave my life to Christ. And last week we talked about how there's weeds that grow among the wheat. Okay, and so we talked about, why is there evil in the world? Why does God allow evil to exist? Why is it here? Where does it come from? And why does God allow it to continue? Well, we talked about it last week in verses 24 through 30. But after the service last Sunday, I realized that I forgot to read some of the passage that I preached to you guys. And I don't know if you noticed it, but I forgot to actually read the scripture where Jesus himself explains the parable. So just like with the farmer and the seeds, when he throws them out in there, Jesus tells the parable. And then a few verses over, he actually explains it. I meant to read that last week and I didn't. So before we get started today, so we stick with our commitment of preaching line by line through the book of Matthew, let's read Matthew 13, verse 36 through 43, and we're going to let God's Word, we're going to let Jesus recap what He told us last week instead of me telling you. Starting at verse 36, it says this, "Then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house, and His disciples said, 'Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field.' Jesus replied, 'The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will remove from His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand.'" If you remember, about a year and a half ago, we made a commitment. I made a commitment, and you guys have just been kind of stuck following along with me. I hope you're not losing interest. But we've said we're going to go through the Gospel of Matthew line by line. That was been over a year and a half ago. And so by keeping with that, let's continue back and jump back up to get back on track where we're going. Let's go to verse 31 and 32, and we're going to read that this morning. This is what we're going to be talking about this morning. The parable of the mustard seed. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the splendor and the beauty of your creation this morning. Even as the wind makes noise in the microphone and the wind flips the pages of my Bible as I'm trying to read, Lord, we thank you. Because just like the wind, Lord, we can't see it. We can't explain how it's always there, but we can feel it. And God, I just pray this morning that your Spirit would have that same effect today, that we maybe not be able to explain it. Maybe we can't see it, Lord, but we can feel your presence among us today. As we talk about your perfect, God-inspired, God-breathed scriptures this morning, Lord, make it real to us. Make it real to us that we can feel it just like we feel this wonderful, cool breeze that you blessed us with today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When this parable this morning that we just heard Christ describing the growth and the greatness of the kingdom, but I believe he's talking about Christianity as a whole, what we call Christianity. Jesus shows us how it all starts with a little tiny seed and how it can grow into something great and how it can grow into something awesome, how it can grow to be the greatest movement that there ever was or ever will be. See, this parable contains a powerful message for all of us individually, but it also has a powerful message for us as the church, as the body of Christ. The seed of faith begins ever so small, but God wants to make it into something so great that it's no longer even considered something like a bush. It becomes a tree. And as it matures, it provides a place of refuge for other people, a place for people to find love and rest for their weary and hurting souls. So let's look at verse 31 and let's see what Jesus says. This is what he says, Matthew 13:31. It says, here's another illustration that Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. So again, when Jesus uses this parable, when he's talking in this parable, he's talking about Christianity is what I believe in a whole. If we think about what we call Christianity, the kingdom of God and its presence here on earth. How many know this morning, I thought about it this week, and the Lord spoke to me that our job as the body of Christ, our job as Christ followers, is to bring the kingdom of God to earth. Do we realize that today? Do we realize that we are tasked with the job of being God's kingdom here on earth? I think about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done. Not somewhere else, but he said, on earth as it is in heaven. See, the whole purpose of this thing that we call Christianity, it's God's design for Christians and Christianity to do His will and to be His messengers here on this earth, to bring His kingdom here. You see, Jesus uses this little tiny seed, because even though it's one of the smallest seeds of all the seeds that God created, it has the potential to grow into one of the biggest bushes in the field that it actually begins to look like and becomes a tree. So if the kingdom of heaven is this tiny little mustard seed, then the field must be the world, right? And the man who took the seed into the field is Christ. This actually sounds like what we've been talking about, right? So why is it that Jesus tells the same thing over and over and over? Maybe Jesus knows that I'm not the only one that's hard of hearing sometimes, right? Maybe Jesus knows that I'm not the only one that's a little stubborn sometimes. My heart gets a little hardened and I don't like to listen to his truth. Maybe Jesus knows that I'm like a sheep, that we're like sheep and we're easily led astray. And he needs to reiterate and reiterate and come back and remind us of his truth time after time after time. Therefore, he knows he has to tell us the same information over and over sometimes before we will really take it to heart. So now that we all understand that Christ wants to sow those seeds into the world and He wants them to grow, let's really look at the growth. In fact, I want to spend the entire sermon looking at the growth. So let's look at verse 32. All right, and we're going to go through that, and we're really going to talk about and focus on this morning is the growth of the seed. It says, it is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows into a tree, and the birds come and make a nest in its branches. So I believe there's three things that jumped out at me this week that I want to point out to you that we need to understand about the growth of Christianity, that we need to understand about this parable this morning. Number one is this: the beginning of Christianity starts small. See, I'm smart. Y'all didn't think I could pick up on that. All right, right? The beginning of Christianity starts small. Think about it. Jesus always starts with one. Christianity always starts with one person accepting the free gift of salvation, accepting that He is Lord of all, and that He and He alone has the divine and holy ability and authority to forgive our sins. It starts with one person, one tiny seed. We actually had a discussion about this at our men's group on Tuesday night. And it's not a coincidence. It's how the Holy Spirit works. I was sharing a story about when I first began pastoring the church, and I thought for whatever reason, you know, God had laid it on my heart, a vision for this church growing, which He's doing. But it wasn't growing at my pace that I thought it should have. And so I found myself laying in, and this is my thoughts, okay? I'm not saying God was wrong. I'm saying I was wrong. And I was arguing with God one night, fussing at God, if you will, in bed. And I said, Lord, I thought You laid it on my heart that the church was going to grow. And this is like week three that I didn't even know what I was doing as a pastor, you know what I mean? And I'm already complaining to God. And He laid it on my heart as I was dozing off, and I woke up and He said, Anthony, you haven't even learned to pastor the people you got. Why would I give you more? And it was a humbling yet awesome experience that I had because it brought me back down to reality. I was sharing that story and my brother reminded me that Christianity always starts with one. It always starts small. It's not about the numbers. It starts small. Sometimes we can put too much focus on the numbers of the number of people that are at a church, and we can look at a different church and say, man, the Lord is doing more work at this church because they've got 500 people, you know, 300 at each service, and last Sunday they had 900 people or whatever. We can look at that and compare ourselves and everything, but that's not how God works. When Jesus is focused on just the one, He's focused on you individually this morning. He's focused on the pastor this morning. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 and 13 says this: if a man has 100 sheep, and here's that number, and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go and search for that one who is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it's not my Heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. See, Jesus likes that number one. Are you that one today? That tiny little seed that He wants to plant in a heart. He wants to plant a tiny little seed this morning in somebody's heart today. God wants to make it grow into something big and great for His kingdom and His glory. And because He always, always starts small and starts with one. That's number one. That's the first thing. Another example of how Christianity starts small is the fact that Jesus Himself started small, right? Think about Jesus. He had a humble beginnings here on earth. The whole time He was here on earth, He didn't even have a place to live. He was born in a manger. He grew up learning a trade job. He was a carpenter. John chapter 1, verse 45 and 46 says this: Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. The Lord's calling somebody this morning to come and see for themselves that Jesus Christ is good. Think about the disciples. Here's another example. You want to talk about starting small. I remember my brother Gary told me one time, he said, Anthony, think about Don't worry about the numbers, you know. He said Jesus took 12 men, 12 ordinary guys, and he changed the world. He used them to change the world. Think about the disciples. They were regular working class people. There was nothing noble about them. There was nothing famous about them. They were fishermen. And Matthew, the one that recorded everything that we've been talking about that happened, was a despised tax collector. They were known for being corrupt and crooked, ripping people off. And not only were they ordinary people, but they really didn't have a whole lot of faith. If you look back over the time that they spent with Jesus, Jesus called them out regularly and had to remind them regularly, like, man, y'all really don't have any faith. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, he says, "And if God cares so wonderful for the wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you." But he doesn't stop there. He ends by saying this, "Why do you have so little faith?" He's talking to his disciples. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24, it says, "Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake, with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was asleep. The disciples went and woke up, shouting, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' Jesus responded, 'Why are you afraid? You have so little faith.' Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm." You see, Jesus knew their faith was weak, but he still used them. He was okay with those small, humble beginnings. Matthew chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said this, "You have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other over having enough bread to eat?" See, Christianity starts small, but over the years, I want to encourage you this morning, and we need to know this morning, that over the years and over since Christ came, since he ascended into heaven, since the first person accepted the Lord and the church began to grow and the Holy Spirit came, it has continually grown, and it is growing to this day. All over the world, Christianity is growing. If you look at the number of Christ followers that there was when Jesus ascended into heaven, compared to today, compared to even a few days after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down, it'll blow your mind and it'll encourage you today. Acts chapter 1, verse 15, it says this, "During this time, when about 120 believers were gathered together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them." And then you go over to chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 40 and 41, it says, "Then Peter continued preaching for a long time." See, I'm not the only one that gets a little long-winded. Peter did too. All right? I want you to know that this morning. It's in the Bible. Peter continued preaching for a long time. And listen what happened. He strongly urged his listeners, "Save yourself from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. So again, the first thing we need to understand about this parable is this. The little tiny mustard seed of Christianity started small, but it didn't stay that way. And that's what Jesus wants us to understand this morning. And this leads us right into the second thing that we need to understand about this parable. Number two is this. The mustard seed, if you will, this Christianity that we call Christianity, this movement of Christ followers going out and doing the will of God, that started out small, it becomes not just big, but it becomes the greatest in all of the field. Christ tells us in this parable that when Christianity is full grown, it will be the greatest, it will be the biggest, it will be the most awesome movement ever to happen in the world, in the field, if you will. Just think about all the changes that have taken place in this world since Christ entered the world. Really think about it. Christianity is the greatest movement that ever happened socially to the world, right? It has changed. It is still changing the world, and it's changing us and changing the world into a better place. But it also has to change each one of us individually, and I believe God is actively doing that as well. This is true because Christ does for a person what a tree does for a bird. That's why he uses as an example. He said the mustard seed grows into a bush and it ends up growing into a tree, and birds can come and make their nest and rest in them. See, a tree gives rest to a bird. If you think about a bird, it spends most of its day in flight, and it's flying around, and it's fighting the wind and the other things that want to devour them in life, the other predators that are out there. But yet there's a tree, they can come and they can land in the branches. If they need a rest, if they're weary, if the storm is coming, they have a place where they can find shelter and they can land on the tree limb, trusting that the tree will give them rest and a place of refuge. That is what Christ does for each one of us when we place our faith, our true faith and our trust in Him. When we receive His grace, when we receive His mercy in our life and in our heart, when we experience what it feels like to be forgiven of our sin, we experience this rest. We experience this peace in our heart. We experience rest for our souls. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says it Himself. He says, "Come to Me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you," what, church? "I will give you rest." I love Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. I read this week, and it's really something that's just been stirring. So I want you to listen to this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. It says, God's promise of entering His rest still stands. So right now today, God's promise that we have the ability to enter into His rest, to enter into His tree, that place of refuge, it still stands. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to say this, "So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you may fail to experience it." What a tragedy when people go through life and they don't experience the peace and the joy that is available to them through Christ. You see, not only does Christ give us rest, but He gives us a home, a part of a family, a new family, the family of God. Just like a tree provides a home for a bird, so Christ provides rest and a home for us. We become a part of the family of God. When we get involved with His church, and we start getting plugged in and we say, man, I want to serve. I want to use my talents and my gifts to serve the Lord and to serve His church. When we actually look past ourselves and we look to other people and we say, what can I do to help this person? What can I do to serve? What does this person need? How can I invest in someone else's life? Maybe when we join beside another believer and we say, brother, let's join and fight together. Let's go out and serve together. It's just like that feeling, to me anyways, what I've experienced, of walking into your home. Has anybody ever gone back to their old home place where they grew up? Maybe their parents still live there. You walk back in and you just the smell of your home. Maybe you've been away or whatever, and you walk into your home and you smell your house, that home, and you just feel comfortable. You feel welcome. You feel at rest. You feel safe and you feel loved. See, we find rest when we come to Christ, just like a bird who's been fighting the wind and lands in a tree. Another way a tree compares to Christianity is this. What I was looking at this week and I was reading about it, I was thinking about it. Think about this. The trees provide food for the birds, right? The berries and the nuts and the fruit and all the things. Christ gives us food as well, just like a tree provides food for a bird. A bird can eat the fruit on the tree while it's resting in its place of safety. And it can be strengthened and nourished before it goes back out into the wind, into the world. This is how Christ wants to do with us. He wants to do this with us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to provide for us. So when we go out into the world, we're ready for the wind. We're ready for the world. We're ready for those who's trying to devour us, trying to rob our joy. This is how Christ is. He strengthens us and He provides for us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25-26 says this. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. This is Jesus telling us right here. Don't worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food to drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Listen to what He says in verse 26. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable than they are? Somebody needs to hear that this morning. God provides for the birds and you are more valuable than them. So if He will take care of the birds, He will take care of you today. So Christ assures us in this passage that He will provide for us not only physically, but He will strengthen us spiritually as well. Philippians 4 verse 13, we all know this scripture a lot of times, but really listen to what Paul is telling us that Christ will do. He says this, "For I can do everything through Christ." Some translations say everything is possible through Christ who gives me strength. Christ wants to strengthen us this morning. Not to mention we have the hope as believers, the hope that we have, that eternal place of rest. So not only in this place that we're walking through in life now do we have place and do we have joy and peace in Jesus Christ? Do we have that place in the tree that we can come and rest? But we have an eternal place to call home. And Jesus tells us in the book of John, he says, there's plenty of room there. If there wasn't, would I have told you that I went to prepare a place for you? There's plenty of room in this place that we can call home. And the hope of God's provision is for all eternity for those who simply believe in Christ. So even though the kingdom of God may start small, church, we must continue on. And we have to understand God doesn't want us to stay that way. We might start small this morning. It might have started small when you were a child in Sunday school. It might be starting small as some of the teenagers in youth group as we spend time investing in them and preaching the word to them or the children's church. But God doesn't want to leave it that way. He wants it to continue to grow. Because if we continue in our growth with the Lord, our relationship with God will also continue to grow. And He will do great things for us. He will do great things with us. And He will do great things through us. And we have to believe that and we have to proclaim it this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul says this. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing that you do for the Lord is ever useless. See, just like a tree provides for the birds, Christ provides for us. He will strengthen us. He will provide for us. And He loves us and He cares for us. And He will give us that place of rest. Lastly, number three, as we close, I'll give you this. The third and final thing that we must understand this morning, that I believe God wants us to take away from it this morning, is personally, we all must decide this morning. We all must decide some point in my life to take advantage of the tree that God has planted for us. We must take advantage of the tree and the present that's right here in our presence while we can. And if we do this, we're simply just looking at the birds and we're following their examples. They give us two examples to follow, and this is what we're going to close with. When we think about the birds, number one, the birds choose to come to the tree. Nothing makes them land in the tree. They can stand out in the world all day long. Their whole life, they can stay out there if they want and they can fight the wind all by themselves. But somewhere along the line, they have to make that choice. Man, I need rest. I need rest for my soul. Let me find a tree to rest in. The birds choose to come to the tree. Each person must make a choice to seek refuge in Christ. Oh, we'll seek refuge in all kinds of things, won't we? A lot of times before we come to Christ, even once we find Christ, we'll seek refuge in all other kind of things that aren't good for us, that leave us more worn out than we were before, maybe more burdened than we were before. But until we simply come and we seek refuge in Christ and in Christ alone, we're going to still be out there fighting the world, fighting the enemy, all by ourselves. Revelation 22:17 says this, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. See, the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. We have to make that choice, number one, to find refuge in Christ and to seek refuge. Number two, each person must choose to live in Christ. So once we find refuge in Christ, once we find that tree that gives us the safety that we need and the rest that we need, we have to start tapping into that nourishment that Christ wants to give us, to lodge and to make a nest in the tree, to daily walk with Christ. We must make the choice every morning, every day, every hour, Lord, I need you, to say that. Every day when we wake up and when our feet hit the floor, we need to wake up and we need to say these words right here. Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day when we wake up, we say, God, I need you this morning. Be with me today. Help me resist the temptation. You know what? If you don't know how to pray, go to Matthew chapter 6. God, Jesus gave us the perfect example. We must remain in fellowship with the Lord. We must remain in His Word, in His tree. We must remain and cling and believe the truth that He gives us in His Word. The truth that His Spirit will speak to our heart in the world full of lies. Jesus says this in John chapter 15. He says, "Remain in Me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me." We have to remember that. We have to make that choice to seek refuge in Christ. And we have to make that choice to live and lodge with Christ. Amen? Each of you should have one of these little pictures this morning. I want you to all look at that this morning as we close. For real this time. I want you to look at this picture this morning. This is a picture of a... You got the little mustard seed on there, if my tape held up, right? There's a little tiny mustard seed. And you look at that tree that's in the background. Look what it grows to be. Look what it grows to be. I want you to take this week. Put it in your cubicle at work. Maybe put it on your refrigerator. Wherever you're going to be, and you're going to be able to look at it and access it, I want you to really think about it. Maybe this morning you're thinking Christianity as a whole, the whole world's going down the dumps, right? We see it on the news, we see it whatever, and you think that all hope is lost. I want you to look at that little mustard seed right there, and I want you to know, no, God, it's not lost. You're still working in the world, and you're going to make something great. You're still working. Your fruit is still growing. Your seeds are still being planted. Maybe it'll help to remind you to go out and be a planter. Or maybe in your personal faith, you think, well, my faith is so small, what could I ever do? Why isn't my faith growing? Maybe we need to look at that and we just need to say, Lord, am I really willing for this seed to be planted in my heart? Am I really willing to let You grow me into something big and better and great? Or maybe it's your spiritual gifts. Maybe you're thinking about your spiritual gifts and you're thinking, but my gifts, what can I offer? They're so small. Let you be reminded when you look at that seed, when you look at that mustard tree, that God can make it into something great. Maybe it's your ministry in the church. Maybe it's your relationship with God. Maybe it's your understanding of His Word. You say, well, I read the Bible, but I feel like I don't really understand it. We got to remember it all starts small, right? That's how God does. He starts small. So take the little things that He gives you. Take the little wisdom that He gave you, the little understanding that you have, and invest in it and pray it over your life and live it out and walk it. And guess what? He'll start revealing more to you. Before long, you start to grow just like that mustard tree. Maybe it's your prayer life. Whatever it is, you feel like your prayer life is just small and it's weak. Invest in it and look at this and be reminded what God can do if we commit to it, and we make that choice to make a nest and to lodge with Him. I found it interesting this week. Jenny actually looked this up because she knew what I was preaching. She actually made all these, by the way. That the mustard seed is one of the fastest germinating seeds. So even though it's one of the smallest, you can plant it today and come back tomorrow, and a lot of times it's already sprouted. And I want to encourage you this morning, if God has planted a seed today, He wants to use you this afternoon. Amen? If you think you're too small to be used by God, look at that mustard seed. You think you've messed up too much? The moment that you accept the seed that God plants in your heart, whatever it is this morning, we're all dealing with something different. We're all in a different walk in life, and we're all dealing with maybe we're a different place with the Lord. God wants to germinate it and start growing you today. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, the sprout is already there. Will you grow? Will you make that choice this morning? If God has laid something on your heart and you need prayer this morning as we sing, as the rest of the worship band comes, I invite you to come and pray. Pray where you are. Look at that mustard seed while we're singing about how great God is. And really, maybe proclaim it this morning. Say, God, I know it started something. You started something small in my life. You started something. It seems so small. But God, I just pray that You will give me the strength, that You will give me the nourishment to press on and watch You grow. Let me get out. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, we come to You again. Lord, not out of ceremony, not just a way to end a service,
But God, we just speak to you today, the creator of life, the King of Kings, wants a relationship with me. Lord, that should make us bow in humble adoration this morning. Lord, we love you. We praise you. God, help us this morning. Help us this week as we go out. Lord, to walk with you, to take refuge in your place, in your salvation, in your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just pray, I pray, that you would grow me, that you would grow us, that each of us individually would let that seed take root and sprout, and that we really would want it to grow, even if it gets us out of our comfort zone, even if it makes us uncomfortable. Yes. Our goal would want to be, grow me, God. Grow me to be more like you. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we praise you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for being here again, and God bless you all.